This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Just going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." I'll just leave it there. Father, we thank you as we open your word today. Your word is alive. Your word is life. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we're so aware that we're gathering in your name. It's you that we gather to. It's you, Lord, that has begun a good work in each one of our lives, Lord. It's you that have brought us to the kingdom for this time. Lord, we're so aware that you've called us out of darkness. Lord, you said to be saved from this perverse generation. And Lord, we're called according to your purpose, that you want your Son to be manifested in our lives, in each one of us in this place, in this time, in this generation, that you might be glorified. Lord, have your way. Speak into our hearts. Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one who reveals Jesus. You're the only one. We can't do it. We never could. But you are the one who does it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, reveal and lift up Jesus that we might be changed from glory to glory as we look to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This whole scene, to me, depicts in an incredible way our situation in the world today. Here's a little boy, Samuel. He's ministering to the Lord before Eli. He's got no idea, really. Well, he might have a bit of idea. He's in his heart, he's aware that he's doing this to God, but he doesn't really have a relationship with God. To him, I suppose God is up there somewhere, and he's in childlike simplicity ministering to God. Because there comes this time where God actually calls him. But the situation is here. He's ministering to the Lord before Eli. Eli's the high priest, an older man there at that time. And he's doing it before him. So he's telling him how to minister to God, and he's doing it faithfully. But it says the situation is the word of the Lord was rare in those days, that there was no widespread revelation, or the old King James said there was no vision. And so I want to use this to talk about in the world today. What about in our community? What about in our nation? Our nation. Is there widespread revelation in our nation today? Is there vision in our nation today? As Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says this, it says, where there is no vision, that the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And other translations say that where there's no revelation or no vision, that the people cast off all restraint. They live in a careless manner, as if the reality of eternity, the reality of heaven and hell, doesn't even exist. They say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let us get the best out of life that we can today, because life is short. That's the mentality that people cast off restraint. And here's a need for vision. There's a need for revelation. Where's it going to come from? The word of the Lord is rare in the land. Everybody's doing their own thing, trying to make the best out of life, but they're living in a careless manner. The same word was used by Moses. You know, he brings all Israel out of Egypt, and they're seeking God. You know, God's been saying to us to seek his face. Seek my face, God is saying. What is that, to seek the face of God? To really draw near to God. Because if we do, if we take that initiative to draw near to God, I know it's God that draws us in the first place. You know, I think, who is it? Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, what an amazing thing when God gets a hold of a man. It's an incredible thing. When God gets a hold of a woman, an incredible thing. The whole world changes. But there's only one thing better than that, and that's when a man gets a hold of God. God has done all that he can to reach out to us, to draw and lay hold of our lives. But there's got to come something from us to lay a hold of God. You see, every relationship means two people. It's not dependent on one, it's dependent on two. There must be a response. Husbands and wife, there must be a response one to the other. And the same with God as well. And he's saying now, he has drawn us by his mercy. He has drawn us by his grace. He has reached down when we're in the deepest hell, and he's brought us out at incredible cost to himself, incredible cost. And he saved us, and now he's looking for a response from us to lay hold of him. Hasn't God been saying that today is the day of salvation, that we're to press on to know the Lord? Let us seek him. Let us press on to know the Lord. Paul the apostle says, forgetting everything that's behind me, I press on that I might lay a hold of him, that I might lay hold of that for which he has laid a hold of me. Do you know that? That God has laid a hold of your life for a purpose, that he has got a hold of you, that in this generation that you should shine forth his glory and his majesty. That's why he's got a hold of your life. But it's going to take you pursuing God. It is time to seek the Lord until he rains, he rains righteousness upon us. Look, if you've been trying and trying and trying, can I tell you, you can never do it. But if you will surrender and make him your pursuit, don't make trying to be like Jesus your pursuit, because you will fail. Make him your pursuit, and he will do in you all that he has promised that he and he only can do. That's the key. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Draw near to me, he is saying, and I will draw near to you. He will rain righteousness upon us. This situation here, tragedy. Eli, do you know his name means lofty one? It comes from a root word to depict a rising up and a breaking forth. And here's Eli. What an incredible heritage he has, where the glory of God was manifested in all of Israel, where people saw the glory of God, where fire came down from heaven in the sight of them all, and their sacrifices were consumed, and they would fall on their face. You know, Karen was leading right at the end, just let's kneel down. And I thought, you know, wouldn't There's everyone just kneeling down. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Is he in the house? Is he in the house? There are times when the Spirit of God is wanting us to move, or he's moving and wanting us to respond in the only way that we can. And God's glory falls down. You read in the Bible where people fell on their faces. Fell on their faces. You know, that's what I'm looking for. So the word of the Lord's rare. Eli, lofty one. He had such a heritage. But what's happening? His sons ministering in the temple. It's all become ho-hum. It's all become form. It's all become, oh, that's what you do. You go to church, you do this, you praise the Lord, you pray, you do your duty, you do all of those things. But why is there no widespread revelation? Why is it that the people are dwelling carelessly? Why is it that our nation is living carelessly? They are perishing. And you know what God's saying? And this, when Elijah has this vision of God sitting on the throne, and he just sees the manifest glory of God, and he hears this voice from God saying, "Who will go for me? Who will I send?" You know, I was used to hear that. Yes, Lord, send me. Send me. You're not ready to send David. You're not ready. Unless you get my heart, you'll go with the wrong message. You'll go with, oh, it's all about signs and wonders. It's all about prophecy. It's all about praying. It's all about whatever. With your own enthusiasm. But you need to know, David, what my heart is really like. You need to come close to me and sit in my presence and find out what breaks the heart of God. Only then will you be ready to be sent. Only then. So here's the circumstance. The word of the Lord is rare. In this nation, the word of the Lord is rare. There's no vision. There's no widespread. There's no widespread. There's no breaking out vision, which this nation needs, doesn't it? Our politicians need it. I don't know about you, but you read the news, and all we're getting is tragedy in relationships in our politicians. And it's like the and I watched something the other night on the news. This is on the news, and they're showing schoolgirls fighting, and they've got it from every angle. Kids on their mobiles filming these girls fighting. And from different angles, so there must have been two or three with mobiles, and our television, our media is falling over backwards to get a hold of this kind of information to show it to everybody in this nation. We're all tisking over it. The same as those school kids, you could hear them on the phone laughing about it. This is great. Film it. Show it to all our friends. Now we do it in the whole nation. Show it to the whole nation. We all go tisk, tisk, tisk. You know, doesn't it break your heart? Doesn't it break your heart that there's no vision, there's no revelation this nation needs? Look, here's a priesthood that was set in place that knew the glory and majesty of God, and all of their offerings became routine, ho-hum, and just form. It's what you do. It became all about them. It became all about how to get blessed from God. If you pray, you get blessed. It's all about personal, just your personal stuff. And who's getting the heart of God? Who's getting the heart of God in this whole priesthood here? It became all about them. How to get blessed, how to get this, how to get that. And God couldn't find anybody in all of that priesthood who would represent him for where he wanted, the whole nation. What about us in our churches? And isn't it isn't the same thing in, even in our churches? It becomes all about us, all about what we want. And God says, is there anybody that I can share my heart with? Is there anybody that will get the same heart that my son showed? He was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to take up his cross. He was willing to show my heart in the midst of this kind of darkness, in the midst of this kind of stuff that's going on. He wants to reproduce Jesus in each one of you. This is stuff I shouldn't be preaching to new Christians. They need to know the love of God. They need to know God's unconditional love and assurance. But what about us? So we're supposed to be grown up. We're supposed to be mature in the Lord. It's the parents that lay up for the children. But God, I believe, is going to raise up children to do what parents should be doing in our generation. He's going to do it. You know, think about in the past, you know, it was always men that would go to war. Then over history, you'd find women going to war. Then you'd find children going to war. What a tragedy that is. But I believe that God's going to raise up children just like he did here with little Samuel. This is a little boy. He raised him up to do what a whole priesthood was not doing, because all they were thinking about were themselves. It came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. There's so much in those verses. Eli is lying down, and before the lamp of God. You know, that lamp was never to go out. It was to burn continually before the Lord. And the priest was commanded, I want to command this again too, to every one of you, I've said it before, that the priest was commanded, he was told, tell the people that they must bring oil. They must bring olive oil so there's a supply of oil for that lamp to burn continually, where? In the tabernacle. Isn't it? Paul says, praying always. And he says, pray for me. You know, it's not a matter of me getting up and saying some kind of words that I've found out in the Bible. It's not about my ego. It's about what God is saying, what God is wanting. There's got to be a breakthrough revelation. And he commands the people, bring oil, that lamp will never go out. And every priest and every minister has got to stand in that place, making sure that the lamps are burning all the time, that the oil is ministered to that lamp. And isn't it a picture? This is the house of God. Isn't that who we are? Are you bringing the oil? Oh, I pray. I'm not talking about your personal prayer life. You've got to have that. I'm talking about, you know, children, they don't think it's just about where's my dinner, where's this, where that. And that's right. Parents have to think about others. Parents have to stay up at night watching over their children. That's who I'm talking to, you and I. There must be oil in this place. There must be oil because that light needs to shine. Why? Because Jesus must be seen. People don't want to come to this church and see what a great fellow David is. What a great bunch of people we are. No, they need to see Jesus Christ. They need to see him because he's the only one that can change a person. He's the only one who can save a person. It's serious times, serious times. So Eli's lying down. His eyes are so dim he can't see anymore. What a tragedy. So often that can be happening in the church. We're not seeing. There's no vision. No vision. I tell you, you can't see the glory of God without it changing you, without it breaking you, without it exposing everything in your heart. You can't change. You can't help but have it change you. His eyes had begun to grow so dim he could not see. And God's drawing us close to him. Jesus is the light of the world. He must be seen. You know what it said about Jesus Christ when he came? When he came, you know, John the Baptist, he was there. And the Bible says he was looking at Jesus. Now, if you want to get a vision, actually, I need to share this. There's that word vision. I'm not going to try and pronounce that word vision in the Hebrew. It comes from another word. But vision means a sight or a dream or a revelation, an oracle. Isn't it when the Holy Spirit, the oil, is poured out? What happens? Visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. There must be visions and dreams, not just for us here, but for people that come in. People that don't know yet, because God wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. So what's that going to take? It's going to take us waiting up all night. It's going to take us being broken with what breaks the heart of God, so we'll pray with a kind of urgency that will not be denied. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. That's what God is looking for from the church. That's the cry he will hear. Was it Samuel's mother? That was the kind of prayer that she had, Hannah. She was a barren woman. And she cried. And God heard her prayer. You know, Samuel means asked of the Lord. Asked of the Lord. Back to that word. Vision. A sight, a dream, a revelation or oracle. And it comes from this root, another root word, which means to gaze at. To gaze at. To perceive. To contemplate with pleasure. Specifically, to have a vision of. And translated, behold, look, prophesy, provide, see. But I love that where it says gaze at. You know, there's another word that comes from that. It talks about prophets and seers. They're people. They're looking somewhere. Aren't we? You know, Moses said, would to God that all God's people are prophets. Would to God that all God's people are prophets. That was his cry. You know, the same word, prophet and seers. They used to call them seers. Go to the seer. Why? Because they're looking somewhere. They're continually looking at God. They were gazing at him with pleasure. Well, we're so caught up with the things of this world, you can tell where you're looking. I just have to talk to people and you'll find out where you're looking. You'll find out where your heart is. You'll find out where the treasure of your heart is, because your eye will give you away where you're looking and your mouth will declare it. What do you talk about all the time? What do I talk about all the time? Where are you looking? Are you gazing at him? We're to be looking unto who? Jesus. He's our vision. The greatest vision that any generation's ever had is our generation, Jesus Christ. In your light, he's the light of the world. In your light, we see light. Visions flow. But it won't unless you're gazing at him. Unless you're looking to him with all your might, with all your heart, with all your mind. He's my vision. He's my vision. Out of that, visions will come. Anointing will come. So that's the word. Jeremiah. What is, you know, when I read through all the prophets, here's Jeremiah, God said, I've called you a prophet. And you know, first thing he says, he shows him something. And he says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah talks back to God. His eyes are on the Lord continually. He doesn't race off, you know, with his idea of what the vision was about. He communicates God with God in the vision. God says, what did you see? What do you see, Jeremiah? And he says, oh, I see a melting pot tipping from the north. This is one of his visions. And God said, you've seen well. You've seen what I'm trying to show you. You know, how many of us race off without seeing the heart of God? We've seen a vision, but race off because we got our own interpretation on it. That's why God said, who will go for me? Whom will I send? And this is, you know, Jeremiah said a lot. He said, if they are prophets, let them make intercession. The testimony of Jesus says in Revelation is, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we're looking to him. Are you? Or you just look to him when you get in trouble. That's great for when we're first saved. That's great for children. But aren't you grown up now that your eyes continually on him, fixed upon him? My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I'm not going to be afraid of any evil report because my heart is fixed. My eyes are fixed on him who is the author and the finisher of my faith. What he started, he will finish. Nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So here it is. The lamp's going out. Should never go out. It's in the tabernacle, the house of God of the Lord, where the ark of God was. It's the presence of God. That's you and I. Whenever two or three gather in all your groups, when you gather, it's him in the midst of you. I've said it before, but we focus in churches about building relationships and fellowship. And that's all right. Well, you can do that in a club. Have great activities. Have great things. Work together. Do shows together. Every club can build good relationships doing that. But our relationship is different. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. What's the condition? We walk in the light. We need the oil. We need the oil. It's the Holy Spirit who, first of all, what does he do? He convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin. Then he convicts the world of righteousness. It's no good telling people about the righteousness of Christ that you can have unless their sin is convicted of. Then you realize why Jesus had to go on a cross and be butchered and slaughtered and his blood poured out to cleanse us from all sin. Then it's appreciated. And when Tim was talking about, was that circumcision in the Old Testament, was in the flesh, bodily. Circumcision in the New Covenant is cut to the heart. It's a cutting in the heart that takes place where we get to experience what God's heart is really like. He wants to reveal things to us. But if we're all about just bless me, God, make me feel good every day. I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel this. I want nice things happening. You know, somebody said this once, that the sign of God's blessing in the Old Covenant, you know what the sign was? It was prosperity. Do you know what the sign of blessing, God's blessing in the New Covenant is? Somebody tell me. You know what the sign is? You'll be hated of all men. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when you're in trouble. But what have we done in churches? We've made it blessing. Prosperity. Oh, I'll go for prosperity because the kingdom needs it. Pour it out. But the sign of God's blessing in the New Covenant is men will speak evil of you. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when people curse you. What do? We have a little pity party. Oh, poor me. Poor me. I've only got God with me. Poor me. I've only got God. We need to grow up, don't we? We need to grow up. Vision needs to come. When you gaze at Jesus, you know when Jesus came, John the Baptist was looking at him. And the word means he was intently looking at him as he walked. You know what he cried out? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As he was gazing at him, revelation came. That's the Lamb of God. Takes away, sets every captive free, heals the brokenhearted, opens blind eyes, sets every captive free. As we look to him. And then it says, Jesus came to John and he was baptized. And it says this in Luke 2, forget where the verse was. But in Luke 2, while he's baptized, he comes up and says, and while he prayed, while Jesus prayed, the heavens were opened and the Holy Ghost came down. Well, church, is it Christ in us when he prayed? Do you want to get the heart of the Father? Do you want to get the heart of the Father? You can ask for it. You know, so I think it's Philippians where Paul says to them, it's been granted to you not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but it's been granted to you. This is a privilege, a privilege. It's been granted to you that you will also suffer with him. It's not your sufferings. It's not, oh, I've got such hard things happening. I'll stop you wallowing. I'm talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If you will ask for him, ask for them, he will show you what they are. Remember we had that word a while back? Are you willing to be broken? It's not your brokenness, it's his brokenness that he wants to reveal to you and to me. And out of that, I'll tell you what, there's going to come such prayer, such intercession. If they are prophets, let them make intercession. That's going to open the heavens and the Holy Ghost is going to come down and there'll be visions and signs and wonders and dreams and people will be converted. That's what I want to see. That's what this house is all about. I say it over and over again, a house of prayer. That's what this is all about. It's a house of prayer first and foremost. Will you be broken with what breaks the heart of God? Because that's what it'll come out of. It's that revival that I'm not going to be satisfied with anything else until I see that. Because we've been brought to the kingdom for this time. I'll leave a couple of scriptures with you. When Peter and the apostles, after Jesus, they were gazing up into heaven after Jesus was taken up. And using that word, they gazed up into heaven. I'll tell you what, their vision was locked in. They had to have an angel. They had to have an angel come alongside of them to get them focused, to get them going again. But their vision was locked in on Jesus. And they went back to Jerusalem and they did what Jesus told them to do, tarry in Jerusalem. Wait on God until you're endued with power from on high. And here they are, all with one accord, all with one heart, one mind, one voice, one vision. God, you have got to come down. That's what I want to see in this church. I don't want to be a church that, oh, we have wonderful miracles here, we have this happening, oh, let's attract people. You know, I think I told Karen, I've got those signs up there. Remember? And I thought, oh, I wish I didn't have them. I'm ashamed of them. Not anymore, but it was because of what I was seeing, that it's not trying to attract people because of who we are. Jesus Christ, when he is lifted up, he will draw all men. And darkness scatters. No devil can stand when he's lifted up. How's it happen? When we pray, one voice, they gave themselves, praying continually, and then suddenly there's a sound from heaven, filled the whole house. And it was Peter get up and he says, this is that, you know, we've spoken of the prophet Joel. He said, it'll come to pass in the last days, Peter said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. This nation needs to have vision. It needs to have a revelation of him. And we are here for that purpose. And you want to go back and read Joel. Read how God has to get people to see. There's a whole nation that is in a similar condition with Samuel, little Samuel's in it. They've no vision anymore. In the book of Joel, God has to bring foreign nations and warfare to their doorstep to wake them up. We love that bit when we quote it in Joel 2. He said, afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit. But you got after what? Go and read Joel and find what it's after. It's about the judgments of God coming to wake up his people, first of all. Wake up to lament, to wail, to weep before God, to cry out before God because of what he wants to do. You might have all your opinions about what you think God wants. Why don't you get in prayer and get the heart of God and see the Holy Ghost do it through you? Don't tell people your opinions until you're ready to pour out your heart for what God wants. Can we stand up, please? Those words, wake up, gird yourself. In other words, get dressed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. By what? Praying always. Lament, wail. Lie all night in sackcloth. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Boy, we need some sacred assemblies across this land. Cry to the Lord. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. You know what the holy mountain is? The mountain of prayer. He said, on this mountain, the veil will be removed that covers every nation. God, here we are. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, don't let us be a people who take that for granted and then think it's all about us having a nice life here on earth. God, let us be a people who will take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow you. Walk the same path that you trod. Lord, I pray, give us your heart. Lord, we want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. Not our sufferings, God, your sufferings. I pray, show us your heart in this place. Show us your heart, O God. Lord, that we might have upon us poured out the spirit of prayer and supplication. That, Lord, there might be an open heaven over this nation, God. That, Lord, those who are in darkness would come out into your light. That your glory would be manifested. That you would draw all men to you. Set captives free. Lord, we believe that you have not changed. You are the same today. Lord, here we are. Burn up anything in us that, Lord, is not of your kingdom. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Cause us to walk in your ways. Write your laws, God. Not just the ones that we like, but every one of them. Write them on our hearts. Fill us with your spirit. Cause us to walk in your ways. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.